WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, March 7th, 2016. Boy, oh boy, what a fantastic weekend it was in the world of sports. And we're going to try to compile all of the latest news and sporting action from Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday into this jam-packed hour here on WKAR's Current Sports. We will, of course, talk about the Michigan State men's basketball team and Senior Day, which took place on Saturday afternoon at the Breslin Center. Bryn Forbes, Denzel Valentine, Matt Costello, and Kobe Wollenman saying goodbye to East Lansing as they put a cap on their senior careers. You don't want to miss that. We will also, of course, talk about the MSU women's basketball team, which fell in the Big Ten Tourney championship game against Maryland out in Indianapolis, Indiana. We will be inviting Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal, who is in the house out in Indy, to witness that one. He'll give us a breakdown of what took place and what led to the Spartan blowout against the Terps. He'll also give us a preview of tonight's boys high school basketball district tourney action. You don't want to miss that, Chad. And also on the back end of the show, of course, each and every Monday, we love to hit you with our weekend winners. Who exactly had the best weekend in the world of sports and beyond? And folks, Peyton Manning has decided to call it a career. Be a part of today's Current Sports by calling 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Alright, we'll begin things with the Michigan State women's basketball team. The Michigan State women's basketball team fell to Maryland in the championship game of the Big Ten tournament on Sunday night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse out in Indianapolis, Indiana. 60-44, the final of that one. Number 5, Maryland, used an 11-0 run in the third quarter to take the lead and then pulled away from number 19, Michigan State. MSU star Ariel Powers was limited just to 8 points, not scoring a basket until the third quarter. She went 3 of 12 from the floor. Tori Jankowska led the Spartans with 12 points. The Terps have never lost in this tournament and boasted a 6-0 record overall. Yes, they are back-to-back Big Ten tournament champions and back-to-back Big Ten regular season champions as well. Maryland, everyone chasing them in the conference, folks. On an emotional senior day, the Michigan State men's basketball team topped Ohio State 91-76 at the Breslin Center on Saturday afternoon. The Spartans have won 10 of their last 11 games, earning number 2 seeding in the conference tournament. Seniors Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, Matt Costello, and Kobe Wollenman said goodbye to the Brez. Valentine had 27 points and matched a career high with 13 assists in the last home game of the year. Up next, Michigan State will play in the Big Ten Tournament quarterfinals in Indianapolis on Friday night, playing the winner of the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Penn State Nittany Lions game, which take place on Thursday. The Michigan State hockey team split a weekend home series against Minnesota at Munn Ice Arena. They beat the Golden Gophers 4-2 on Friday and 5-0 on Saturday. In that blowout, Jake Hildebrand made 28 saves to earn his third shutout of the season and 13th of his career. William Hock scored twice and added an assist, while Mason Appleton, Joe Cox, and Michael Ferentino also found the back of the net. The Spartans will close out the regular season this weekend when they play host to the Ohio State Buckeyes on Friday and Saturday at Munn. Puck drop is set for 7 p.m. on both nights. The Michigan State softball team had a rough outing in the Gamecock Invitational at South Carolina. The Spartans were only able to come out with a 9-0 victory over Connecticut during yesterday's first game of the doubleheader. Michigan State will train in South Carolina this week during its spring break and will take part in the Holy City Showdown this weekend at the College of Charleston. Michigan State redshirt sophomore Yavier Gaska, he lost a hard-fought 6-5 decision to Penn State's Jimmy Gubin in the 141-pound semis at the Big Ten Wrestling Championships on Saturday night in Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Although Gaska narrowly missed advancing to the finals, his two victories earlier in the day secured his trip to the NCAA Championships, which will take place on March 17th to the 19th out in New York City. Gaska will wrestle in the consolation semifinals against the second-seeded Tommy Thorne of Minnesota in Session 3 on Sunday, which starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, live brackets are available at TrekWrestling.com, and live streaming is available at BigTenToGo.com. The Spartans fell to number 36 Drake, that being the Spartan tennis team, at Roger Knapp Tennis Center in Des Moines, Iowa on Saturday night. Now, the Spartans came into their match in search of their first win of the year against a ranked opponent, but got off to a slow start against the number 36 Bulldogs, the highest ranked team they faced this winter. Now, Drake came into the contest on a three-match winning streak. The Spartans return to action for another road contest this Saturday against Boise State in Boise, Idaho. And folks, an exciting time of the year. The high school boys basketball district tournament starts tonight. I'll give you a rundown on where the local teams will be playing at and who against in just a second. And of course, we'll be inviting Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal, lead prep sports writer for the LSJ, to give us a breakdown of that and more. And also, folks, the Detroit Pistons. Reggie Jackson and the Pistons picked up right where they left off against Portland. Jackson scored 30 points, and the Pistons topped the Trailblazers 123-103 on Sunday night. Back in November, Detroit outscored Portland 41-11 in the fourth quarter. They won that game, and on Sunday, the Pistons led 30-16 after one and never trailed. And the Red Wings, yeah, they fell to the Chicago Blackhawks 4-1 on the road in the Chi yesterday as well. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. Here we go. Life is all about chapters, and one written by seniors Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, Matt Costello, and Kobe Wollenman is one that has been written in pencil, needing at times an eraser to right certain wrongs. But isn't that what playing for head coach Tom Izzo is all about? Growing and evolving. And that evolution on full display here on Senior Day was something to surely sit back and enjoy.
What they did on the court, off the court, in the classroom, in the community. You know, this team has to rank one because all four guys are graduating. It's not even an issue. You know, Kobe's going to be operating on me someday. I mean, I don't want to insult him. The hell with Mateen. I don't want to insult Kobe. He could be taking care of me later on in life.
It was a huge day. It was an emotional day from the very get-go at breakfast. And it's been fun. And it's going to be a long day after this. I got a lot of people I got to go see.
I've changed a lot, I think, you know, in all aspects of life, really. From fatherhood to, you know, as a student to an athlete to, you know, as a person, you know. So, I mean, it's been really growing experience, and it's been a great experience overall.
Can you believe that it's been already 4 years?
No, I can't. I mean, it really hasn't sunk in yet. And, you know, I didn't really get all emotional because I'm like, dang, we got 9 more games. I don't want to act like this is my last game. So
I guess one way to look at it, though, we'll see in the next 3-4 weeks how good they are.
Tom Izzo made sure to note during his senior day speech there have been 4 teams that he legitimately felt could go all the way to win a national title. And guess what? He did include this year's team to that list. And the players certainly echo those sentiments, even though this is Senior Day, the final home game here at the Breslin Center for the year. The players feel as though they have bigger fish to fry. And it starts next week, Big Ten tourney time.
Just like football, our mission, get to a Final Four. See y'all later. Thank you.
Those were the sounds of Senior Day at the Breslin Center on Saturday afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, I want to remind you all that our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, if you want to be a part of today's show. It's going to be a hot one, as I mentioned, at the top of the hour. Again, Brian Callaway will be joining me very soon to give a preview of tonight's boys high school basketball district tournament. A lot of games taking place around the area of Mid-Michigan. A lot of teams in action. You don't want to miss that chat. And, of course, Brian was in the house for that Michigan State just thumping at the hands of Maryland. Maryland just giving it to the Spartans yesterday in the Big Ten women's basketball championship game out in Indianapolis, Indiana. You don't want to miss that. But let's talk about Senior Day for a second. Again, you just heard some of these sounds of Senior Day. Certainly the most emotional moment of the year before March Madness begins, before the postseason conference tourneys, get underway. And really over the last three plus seasons, you know, this senior class has been pretty impressive, folks. During that span of time, the Spartans have posted a 108-35 mark. They've advanced to three straight NCAA tournaments. This will be four this year, including three Sweet 16s, two Elite Eights, and one Final Four, and captured one Big Ten tournament crown, which took place in 2014. Denzel Valentine is the only player in Big Ten history with 1,500 points, 800 rebounds, and 500 assists in a career. Pretty impressive for DV. Matt Costello is on the verge of becoming MSU's all-time leader in block shots. Bryn Forbes currently leads the nation in three-point field goal percentage. And Colby Wolinman can't overlook him. He's been really one of the hearts of this squad over his time as a Spartan, who certainly goes overlooked because he doesn't get much playing time. You know, he came to MSU on an academic scholarship and walked on the team, but, you know, has really appeared to be a factor, seeing as though he's appeared in 77 career games. 77 throughout his career. So congratulations to him as well. And it was pretty cool to watch Tom Izzo after that Ohio State win address the crowd and to talk about each one of the Michigan State men's basketball seniors individually and what they meant to this program during their time as a Spartan. And talking about Colby Wolinman, you know, he mentioned how Colby is from a small city, much like Tom Izzo is. Of course, many of you know that Tom Izzo is from the UP, and Colby Wolinman just kind of embodying, you know, that blue collar hardworking mentality, seeing as though he's from Big Horn, Wyoming, which is arguably smaller than the city that Tom Izzo grew up in. So he mentioned how Colby has really been an emotional factor for this squad for quite some time. And of course he went on to sing the swan song of Bryn Forbes and Denzel Valentine being from right here in Lansing, Michigan, you know, growing up in this area, bleeding green before officially becoming Spartans and donning the green and white jersey officially with the Tom Izzo men's basketball program, playing for Lansing Sexton, winning state championships there. A lot of tears in the room. And then Matt Costello, you know, watching his evolution has been one of the cooler things that we've seen when it comes to player and personnel that have balled out for Tom Izzo squads over the years. Matt Costello coming here, you know, as a, you know, he was like, you know, Mr. Basketball for Michigan, you know, trying to find his way, his game, you know, trying to, you know, it was really a hurdle for Costello when it came to just trying to get used to and acclimated to the college game, you know, coming from high school. But he certainly did. Again, Matt Costello on the verge of becoming MSU's all-time leader in block shots. If you would have told me that when he first got here, watching the player he was when he first got here to Michigan State, I would have said you're crazy. And Izzo, you know, to talk about how much he loves this senior class, Izzo thinks that this is his best senior class that he's ever coached. That puts a lot of things in perspective. But it was a great night. Great night filled with a lot of tears, a lot of emotion. You know, every night at senior night, I feel like Tom Izzo, at one point during his post-game speech, he gets choked up when addressing each of the seniors. And he certainly did. He certainly did on Saturday afternoon. And again, you know, what I love about Michigan State's senior day is that, unlike most programs across the board in the world of college basketball, when senior day comes, you see a lot of programs hold the ceremony before tip-off. But no. Izzo doesn't do that. And I think it kind of adds to what makes Tom Izzo such a motivational genius. He decides to hold senior day after the game. Not before it, but after the game. And I think, you know, that the game acts as motivation, and the game certainly sets the tone for how senior day eventually goes on that respective afternoon or that respective night. And it acts as motivation for the seniors to go out there and win, because all of your family is there. All of your friends are there sitting in the stands watching you. You want to get a win, because it really sucks to have senior day after a game in which you lost. You know, you don't go out with a bang. You go out with a whiff, all right? And, man, it was just a good old-fashioned just whooping that the Michigan State Spartans put on Ohio State Saturday afternoon. 91-76, the final of that game. Denzel Valentine, 9 of 13 from the floor, 5 of 6 from the three-point line, I should say. And what do you say? What do you have? What, 27 points, 13 assists, 4 rebounds. Spectacular. Spectacular. Matt Costello, a routine double-double for him. 15 points, 11 boards. And what was particularly interesting about this game for me was that Michigan State, I mean, they had a double-digit lead at the half. 47-37 is what the score read at halftime. But they were able to get that lead by not being world beaters at the three-point line. And that's certainly been a staple of this Michigan State club this year, because they have so many players that can shoot the three ball. And a lot of people like this team, but when I do hear the occasional criticism of this Spartan squad, it centers on this. If Bryn Forbes and this squad is not hitting from deep, can they still blow out opponents? That's the common criticism I've heard about this squad this entire year, because Michigan State has been so good, so lights out from the three-point line, that it makes you question, okay, if that isn't falling for this squad, can they still become efficient offensively? And that's exactly what they did on Saturday afternoon, folks. They weren't lights out from the three-point line. And talking about Forbes, again, a guy who leads the nation in three-point field goal percentage, Brent Forbes was only 1 of 6 from the three-point line. 1 of 6. That's it. Forbes finished with 14 points, 2 assists. But he wasn't, you know, the 11 of 16 guy we saw against Rutgers, okay? But Michigan State, they relied on their inside game and the mid-range jumper to really get out in front of Ohio State and to still maintain that lead as the game went on. So that was really one of the big takeaways for me. Michigan State did not need to hit threes in order to beat the Buckeyes on Saturday afternoon. So it was a great night. You know, a great way for Valentine, Wolinman, Forbes, and Costello to bid the Breslin adieu. But now comes the real test. March Madness. Can you feel it in the air, ladies and gents, boys and girls? My favorite time of the sporting year. You guys know I am a hoop nut, and there is nothing better than just sitting back, max taxing and relaxing, and watching hoops all day watching these Cinderella upsets occasionally, and just watching basketball. I mean, you know, watching kids playing it for the love of the game, trying to compete for a Sweet 16 appearance or a Final Four appearance in a national championship. It's so fun. And it starts this weekend for the Big Ten and other respective conferences with conference tournaments. Now, you know, conference tournaments are kind of a catch-22 because, you know, it's a good way to keep that momentum going for teams who seem to be in a groove and still want to play. And it's also a window of opportunity for teams who are on the bubble, for teams whose resumes at the end of the regular season don't stack up quite well with some of the formidable talent in the world of men's college hoops, to sort of pad that resume and to make an argument that, hey, we should be in the NCAA tournament. And some of those bubble teams in the Big Ten are a team like Ohio State, a team like the Michigan Wolverines, because the Wolverines certainly had an opportunity to possibly top Iowa on Saturday. That didn't happen on their senior night. But now they need a strong outing in the Big Ten tourney if they want to sniff the NCAA tourney. Simple as that. Michigan State, they are now a number two seed in the Big Ten tourney. And to sort of kind of give you guys a quick rundown of how the bracket looks right now. Looking at the bracket, things begin on Wednesday. That's when the first round takes place. You've got Illinois, number 12 seed Illinois, taking on number 13 seed Minnesota at 4:30. Then later on Wednesday at 7 p.m., number 11 Nebraska will get it on like Donkey Kong against number 14 Rutgers. Thursday is when the second round takes place. You've got number 8 Michigan playing number 9 Northwestern at 12 p.m. Number 5 Iowa will take on the winner of Illinois and Minnesota. Then at 6:30, you've got Ohio State playing Penn State. And guess what, folks? Michigan State will play the winner of that game. So, again, on Thursday at 6:30, Ohio State will take on Penn State. Tom Izzo's squad will play either the Buckeyes or the Nittany Lions on Friday at 6:30 p.m. And then continuing with the Thursday slate here at approximately 9 p.m., Wisconsin will play the winner of either Nebraska or Rutgers. So Indiana, Purdue, Michigan State, and Maryland, top four teams in the Big Ten Conference, they all get double byes, which is great around this time of the year as well. I just finished coming back from the Breslin Center and listening to Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, talk about the mindset that you have to have around this time of the year. And Tom, you know, he let it be known that he does not particularly like how the Big Ten Conference Tournament, how as soon as the championship game is done, as soon as that tournament ends on Sunday and that championship game is in the books, like literally, like hours after the Big Ten Tourney Championship is crowned, selection show starts. The selection show starts that riddles down the entire NCAA tourney field. And now you have to shift that mindset from the Big Ten tourney into the big kid on the block, the NCAA tourney. And he doesn't like it because immediately when it's over, it kind of loses its luster, to be honest. You know, whoever the conference tourney, you know, winner is in the Big Ten tournament championship, you know, they only have hours to celebrate it because you're immediately shifting that mindset. Immediately, you know, going from, hey, jubilation to, okay, who do we have in the NCAA tournament? I don't like that either. And I asked Tom Izzo during his press conference today, whether a lot of that has to do with preparation, because, yeah, again, you have to, you know, you don't get much time to prepare during NCAA tourney time. You know how a lot of it has to do with preparation. And I asked him, with that being said, are you ever fully content? Are you ever fully satisfied when it comes to preparation around this time of the year? And Tom just kind of stared at me and said, no, not at all. I am never satisfied around this time of the year because it is so challenging to have to prepare for a team in 2 days. You know how that first round goes. In 2 days, you literally have 2 days to prepare, do a scouting report, and you know, you really have to have a great assistant coaching staff around you. And that's why I don't think that guys like Dane Fife, Dwayne Stevens, Mike Garland, I don't think that squad, that team that's behind Izzo gets enough credit. And Tom made sure during today's presser to shout out those guys because they have been one of the prime reasons why Izzo and this team has been so successful throughout his tenure. Simple as that. Mike Garland, Dane Fife, Dwayne Stevens, those guys have been so good. And they are so good around tourney time at getting a scouting report on future competition for the Spartans in literally hours' time. It's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable. Also got to note this, folks. This came out literally 5 minutes before I took the airwaves here at our current sports studio to talk to you all lovely people. The Associated Press 2016 All Big Ten Basketball Squad has been announced. And here is how it looks. For the first team, All Big Ten AP, you have for Jarrett Utoff of Iowa, the senior, 6'9", 221 pounds from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Then you have for Nigel Hayes of Wisconsin. He's a junior, 6'8", 240 from Toledo, Ohio. At center, you've got A.J. Hammonds, the senior from Purdue, 7 feet, 250, from Indiana. And then you have the two guards. You've got Kevin Yogi Farrell of Indiana. He's a senior, 6 feet, 180, from Indy. And yes, yours truly, Denzel Valentine, Michigan State senior guard, 6'5", 220, from right here in Lansing, Michigan. Congratulations to Denzel Valentine. He is certainly well-deserving of that honor. Later on today, you will have the Big Ten Conference Awards that will, yes, announce who is the Big Ten Player of the Year and give their names on who should be named to their first team, second team, third team, etc. First team and second team, I think. So and for the second team, the AP also lists this. For the second team, Associated Press, all Big Ten team, you have Ford Peter Jock from Iowa, Ford Matt Costello, Michigan State, guard Mello Trimble from Maryland, guard Malcolm Hill from Illinois, and another Spartan on that second team, Bryn Forbes, the Michigan State senior guard from Lansing, Michigan. So congrats to Bryn Forbes, Matt Costello, and Denzel Valentine for being named to the 2016 Associated Press All 10 Men's Basketball Teams. No surprise there. No surprise. We knew that Costello would be on that list somewhere. Bryn Forbes certainly would be on that list somewhere. And Denzel Valentine being a first team selection. Now the question is whether or not Denzel Valentine will be the Big Ten Player of the Year when the announcement comes out tonight. I think he's the guy. I think Denzel Valentine, and you can make an argument. You certainly can make an argument for Kevin Yogi Farrell, without a doubt. Yogi has been a big, big-time player this year. He's gotten better throughout his 4 years at Indiana. Every single year, Yogi has improved. And you can make the argument that Yogi Farrell, with his squad winning the Big Ten Championship, that Yogi has done more with less. When making that comparison against Denzel Valentine. And Denzel Valentine, yes, he did miss 3 games due to injury, that arthroscopic knee surgery earlier on this year. But Denzel's my guy. If I'm putting in the vote, if I had the opportunity to put in the vote, Denzel Valentine would be my Big Ten Player of the Year. Just because from top to bottom, there's no player in the Big Ten all around that impacts the game like Denzel Valentine does. Defensively, he's arguably the best defender on this squad now. He can score. He can rebound. But most of all, what is the most important attribute to me is that he gets his teammates involved. He makes the four other players on the squad with him. When he's on the hardwood, he makes those four players better anytime he's on the court. Simple as that. I think it's going to be Denzel Valentine tonight, and it would shock me if it isn't. So we'll see what happens. Again, the Big Ten tournament taking place this weekend. Michigan State trying to beat the winner of the Ohio State or Penn State game. And, you know, when looking at this, you know, Michigan State, you know, they'll be playing either Penn State or Ohio State for the third time this season. They've pulled off a three-game sweep of the same team six times. Six times, folks. We're looking at history here. In 1999 against Illinois, in 2000 against Wisconsin, in which they eventually met Wisconsin again in the Final Four. In 2009 against Northwestern, in 2009 against Minnesota, in 2012 against Wisconsin again, and in 2014 against Northwestern. Those are the six times in which Michigan State has pulled off successfully a three-game sweep of the same team in 1 year. And Michigan State has swept the team in the regular season and lost the third time four times, the latest taking place in 2010 against Minnesota. And don't sleep on Ohio State. Don't sleep on Ohio State. Ohio State is a team that has upset Kentucky this year. They've beaten Iowa. Penn State has beaten Iowa as well. And also Penn State has beaten Indiana. And looking at the first two meetings between Ohio State and Penn State for Michigan State this year, Michigan State beat Ohio State by a combined 34 points and Penn State by a combined 58 points. We're looking at those first two matchups. So we'll see what happens. Folks, we are taking your calls. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we've got him on the line. Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, who also covers Michigan State hoops and so much more. He will be joining me live here on our airwaves. That and more right here on WKAR's Current Sports.
Hi, I'm Marvin Olney. On the Next to the Point, police departments around the country are trying to change the way officers use force, limiting the number of bullets they fire, training them to talk their way out of confrontations. The goal is shooting fewer people who are unarmed or mentally ill, but some rank-and-file cops complain kinder and gentler tactics will make their jobs more dangerous. Next time on To the Point from Public Radio.
To the
Radio,
Point, this afternoon at 2 on AM 870 WKAR.
Life under ISIS.
Anyone gathering in public without permission now risks being accused of plotting against Daesh.
One activist risks his life to share his story about the Islamic State's brutal reign of terror. Inside Raqqa, that's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
The Takeaway, today at 3 on AM 870 WKAR.
How's that for timing?
Yep.
Two-run shot for Fritz Fielder. 2-0 Detroit.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. That was a bit of a Tigers flashback there. We'll talk Tigers later on in the show. Don't want to miss that chat. Right now, we have Brian Callaway on the line. He is the lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, who also covers Michigan State hoops and so much more. He was actually in the house at Bankers Life Fieldhouse to witness that Big Ten women's basketball tourney championship game as the Spartans took on Maryland. To talk about that and so much more, we've got Brian on the line right now. Brian Callaway. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Al. How you doing, man?
I am doing fantastic. Have you made it back to East Lansing, my friend?
Yes, I have. Yeah, just got back within the past hour, so yeah.
Great. Safe travels, my man. Glad you made it back safe and sound. Now, Brian, I want to start off by talking about that Michigan State women's basketball game. Again, the Spartans making it all the way to the championship game. They topped Purdue, beat Ohio State, and eventually, of course, met Maryland yesterday in Indiana. How surprised were you that the Spartans just got it handed to them? A complete blowout in this game, Brian.
Well, I mean, I think the score is a little bit deceiving of just the game. I mean, this was a game that obviously, you know, they were winning at halftime. And, you know, you look at that game, and for most of the second quarter in the first half in general, I mean, they didn't really get anything out of Jasmine Hines and Ariel Powers. I mean, both of those players were in foul trouble. Ariel Powers, your leading scorer, she picked up her second foul the early first minute of the second quarter, and she has to sit the rest of the quarter as well, too. So, I mean, I think the game, the final score is a little bit deceiving of how the game was. I mean, that game just really got away from them in the second half. The, you know, some of the shots, they stopped hitting the shots, and they just kind of stopped competing, and were kind of flat there in the second half as well, too. It just, you know, too many turnovers led to easy opportunities for Maryland as well. So, I mean, I think the mindset in the locker room for them afterwards was kind of that, you know, they kind of did it to themselves, and they unraveled a little bit there in the second half, and that's what hurt them.
Brian, how was Maryland able to slow down Ariel Powers, who has certainly been a juggernaut throughout this entire year for the Spartans? She finished with 8 points, did not score until the third quarter, went 3 of 12. 3 of 12 from the field. What was Maryland doing to kind of frustrate her?
I don't necessarily think it was anything that they were doing. I just think it was just more of a, just an off day for her. And, she didn't agree that, you know, the early foul trouble kind of took her out of her game, but it just seemed like it did because, you know, she was never able to get into a flow offensively. Her team wasn't able to get into a flow offensively as well, too. So I think it was more so not necessarily anything that they did. It's just that, you know, she never really got going at all in that game. Like you said, I mean, she didn't score until there was under 3 minutes left in the third quarter. And, I mean, that just her not scoring early just was a bad sign for the Spartans. And, I mean, part of it was because they were in foul. She was in foul trouble, and she had to sit the final 9 minutes of the second quarter, too. So, I mean, that did not help in that regard.
And, you know, when I'm looking at the just kind of the shooting percentage from the floor for Michigan State, 18 of 56 overall, Brian, Brandi Agee went 0 of 9 from the field, which is very shocking because Brandi has been a you know, kind of the third head to that monster that is Ariel Powers and Tori Jankowska. Tori Jankowska, I saw in the first half that she, you know, you mentioned how Michigan State had a 2-point lead at halftime, and Tori, a big reason as to why that was so. She went 4 of 15 from the field. She finished with 12 points to lead this team. But what was up with Brandi Agee in that game?
Yeah, I mean, that was the other surprising thing about this game. I mean, if you really look at this game, you know, Michigan State's three top scorers didn't even score 10 points, and you get a combined 10 points out of Brandi Agee and Ariel Powers. So I think that was something that definitely hurt them. And, you know, Brandi, who's pretty reliable throughout the season, I mean, she just had it off night as well, too. And, you know, in the championship game, I mean, you need to have your top players set up and perform. And this, you know, the two of Michigan State's three top players didn't really have good shooting nights, and I mean that hurt them in a championship game environment.
I gotta know, Brian, you know, this is back-to-back years in which Maryland has now won not only the Big Ten regular season championship but also the Big Ten tourney championship. What was the demeanor like when you spoke to Susie Merchant after that loss?
I think she was just kind of frustrated just because, you know, her team didn't really come out and compete in that second half when things kind of fell apart, you know, and just kind of let the offensive things affect them, you know, not hitting shots. That kind of affected other areas of the game. And that's just kind of been the one maybe kind of bugaboo area when you look at this team. I mean, they've been a little bit of inconsistent, a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde at times as well. And, you know, they kind of let sometimes those things can affect them and, you know, limit their performances. So, I mean, I think that was more so, I mean, just a little bit of frustration that, you know, her team didn't come out and compete well in a championship game and, you know, let things get away from them in the second half and, you know, had certain areas of the game compound in the problems in other areas of the game. So I think that was the main mindset for her.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, also covers Michigan State's hoops and so much more. Brian, what makes Maryland the team in the Big Ten that everyone is trying to catch? What makes this team so good?
Well, first of all, I mean, this is a team that has championship experience. I mean, they've been to the Final Four back-to-back years. And, you know, just a winning pedigree there. Coach Freeze at Maryland has done a really good job building that program up into, you know, getting it to the success it has. And when you look at their team this year, I mean, they're a team that shares the ball well. I mean, you know, I mean, that unselfish nature on that team has been a big part of what they've done this year. I mean, and if you look at their run through the Big Ten, I mean, since joining them, I mean, the only team that they have lost to in Big Ten play is Ohio State. And that was the two times they met this year. So, I mean, it's just been an impressive run for them throughout the Big Ten. And, you know, it looked like MSU, especially in that first half last night, I mean, they had a chance to, you know, they played with Maryland. They showed that they can play on that level. You know, just things kind of got away from them in the second half. And that was kind of something that I wrote in today's LFJ just about that. I mean, just because of that loss for the Michigan State women's basketball team, I mean, I think it was still an encouraging weekend for them just because of what they did against Ohio State. I mean, they have two wins over Ohio State within the past 2 weeks here. So, I mean, they've kind of shown they're capable of, you know, playing with the big teams. And I think that's an encouraging sign as they look ahead for the NCAA tournament next week.
Yes, and that's something I also wanted to mention. I read your piece this morning, Brian, and again, you alluded to how this team is now looking toward the future, toward the NCAA tournament. And when they look back at this weekend, they definitely have a lot to be proud of. Brian, where do you see this Michigan State women's basketball team ranked as come tourney time?
Well, I mean, I feel like they entered the weekend just on the cusp of a four or five seed, and I think that's kind of the range they'll be in. I mean, if they were, you know, a four seed would give them an opportunity to, you know, host somewhere close by, because I don't believe they'll be able to do it at the Breslin Center. But I just think that the stretch where they lost two games in February to Penn State and Nebraska, I think that's going to hurt them in that regard. So I'm guessing that they'll probably be likely a five seed when the NCAA selection pairings are announced a week from today. So I just expect it to be there. And I mean, you know, wherever they end up, I mean, I feel like they have a chance to make some noise, because when you look at the pieces on this roster, I mean, you have a bona fide superstar player in Ariel Powers. I mean, you have a pretty strong post presence in Jasmine Hines as well, too. And then, you know, we talked about Tori Jankowska and Brandi Agee. I mean, those are some very talented players as well, too. So I think they're capable of making some noise. I think they'll end up doing it as a five seed going to somebody's campus.
Now, Brian, will you be following the team come tourney time?
That's yet to be determined. So I think it'll depend, you know, where they end up, but definitely be keeping a close eye on them.
Yeah, I know you are one busy brother. And again, Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal, he is the lead prep sports writer. And tonight, folks, is the opening night of boys high school basketball districts. Looking forward to it. I got to ask you, Brian, when looking at, you know, the local teams from right here in mid-Michigan, who has the potential to go all the way?
Well, I think you got to start with, in Class A, East Lansing. I mean, they're a team that's been impressive all year. I mean, Brandon Johns is obviously the headliner for that team, but it's just so much more than him, and we've seen that throughout the season. And I believe you've been over to a few of their games as well, too, Al. So, I mean, you kind of know a little bit, you know, that, you know, Caleb Hoekstra, DeAndre Robinson. I mean, they just have a lot of different pieces that can get it done, and I think they're an intriguing team when you look at Class A. And you got to look at a team like Lansing Catholic and Williamson, who both were the co-CAAC white champions this year. I mean, those are teams that split their regular season meetings. Both of them ended the season and ranked in the top 10 of Class B. So, I mean, I think both of those teams have a chance to do something. I mean, both they could potentially meet in a district final on Friday at Fowlerville. So, I mean, the winner of that contest could have an opportunity to go on and make some noise in the state tournament as well, too. So, I mean, I think it starts with those couple teams right there as having a chance to make some decent runs this year and kind of duplicate whatever it did last year when they made a run to the Breslin through Class A.
Brian, how shocked were you when East Lansing finished the regular season undefeated at 19-0 on the year? And I believe that's the first time EL, the boys basketball team, has gone undefeated since like the 50s, right?
Yeah, I believe it's something like that, but I mean, I'm not necessarily surprised because I think, you know, they had the target on their back coming into the year. People expected East Lansing to be good. I mean, everyone knew that they had Brandon Johns and a lot of pieces back from a team that, you know, made a little bit of noise toward the end of last season as well, too. So I don't think it's a big surprise. I think people were kind of pointing to them as being, you know, the cream of the crop as far as basketball in this area. But they do play, like you said, they do play in the toughest conference in the area in boys basketball, that CAAC Blue. And they faced a lot of tough challenges this year. And fortunately for them, they were able to pass some of those close tests that they had. And one of the big things that Coach Steve Fenimore says about this team is that they're battle-tested. And, I mean, I think that was established last year with some of the close losses they had to Everett when they had Trevor Manuel. And it's kind of paid off for them this year. And some of those close games that they've had against Holt and Everett and Grand Ledge.
Yes, and they play in a pretty tough Class A district that features teams like Grand Ledge, DeWitt, Waverly, Hazlett, and Eastern is a part of that group as well. Brian, who has the toughest district?
I just think it's hands down that district right there. Just those teams you mentioned. I mean, you have a conference champion and DeWitt, a conference runner-up, CAAC Red runner-up, and Waverly, Hazlitt is a team that's intriguing as well, too. I mean, they're a team that struggled with health throughout the year, but you know, they also have Brandon Allen, who recently became the school's all-time scoring leader. And then Grand Ledge is an intriguing team as well, too, that just beat DeWitt pretty handily last week as well, too. So, I mean, that district is loaded with very talented teams that, you know, from talking to Coach Craig Fields a couple of weeks ago, I mean, he feels like that any team in that district is capable of making some noise as well, too. So, yeah, I think that's kind of hands down the toughest district when you look in the area. But I also think the district in Fowlerville in Class B is also going to be a challenging district when you look at the fact that Lansing Catholic and Williamson are both in that field there.
You know, Brian, you had to be kind of upset like myself when that snowstorm embarked on Michigan and we did not get a chance to see East Lansing take on Lansing Catholic. How crazy would that have been, right?
Oh, that would have been a great game to see. I bet you it would have been a pretty packed house at Lansing Campus to see that, just because, I mean, that was going to be a great matchup to see, teams that have the two best records in the area going head-to-head against each other.
Oh, boy, I would have wished man, I got to put that on. If I could rewind time, I would certainly have a sit-down with Mother Nature, okay? Again, Brian Callaway, lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal. All right, Brian, before we get you out of here, a brief update on what's taking place when it comes to girls high school basketball. Of course, the district tournament wrapped up last week. The regional finals start tomorrow for the girls. What local teams do we still have in the running?
Yeah, we have East Lansing, and obviously they have Michigan State-bound point guard Karen McCutcheon, and she's kind of transformed that team since she arrived from West Virginia in early January. And so they're alive in Class A and playing in the regional in Mason that's tomorrow. Also, St. John's, they won their first district title since 2005 on Friday, and they're alive in Class A and playing in Owosso. And then there's three area teams that are going out to Wayland to play in a regional tomorrow with Portland, Eden Rapids, and Williamson. And Williamson's kind of been one of the top teams in Class B all season, and they're going to face a tough test in their opening game. And Eden Rapids is kind of a Cinderella story. Had a losing record in the regular season and made a run to the district title that they were on their home court. So that was a pretty special thing for them as well, too. So, I mean, those are kind of some of the teams that are going to be continuing on and playing in regionals this week.
And I tell you what, Brian, watching Taryn McCutcheon, oh, my goodness. Is she good or what? Of course, she transferred from West Virginia to Rob Smith's East Lansing girls high school hoop team. And she's just a lightning bolt out there. Have you ever seen a girls high school baller like her?
No, I haven't. I mean, she's just an interesting talent just with the things that she could do on the court. And last week, she didn't really shoot well in that district at Waverly, but she impacts the game in so many other areas. And the thing about her is that she just made everybody and her team completely better than they were before that she came here. And the common line from a lot of coaches that I've talked to who says that everybody on that East Lansing girls team is 2 to 3 times better than they were before she came. So, I mean, that's just a testament of just how special of a player that she is. And I believe on Friday, too, she just surpassed her 1,500 career points in her high school career as well, too. So that was another unique accomplishment for her.
My goodness, she is so impressive. Of course, she'll be balling out for the Michigan State women's basketball team in the coming years. Very, very cool stuff. All right, Brian. Well, what game will you be at tonight, my friend?
Yeah, I'm going to be in East Lansing. Are you going to be out there?
Yes, you will see me there, my man. I cannot wait. I can't wait for tonight. Nothing like March Madness, all right?
Yeah, nothing like it. And there's going to be a couple of good games out there, so it should be fun to see.
All right, Brian Callaway. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, underscore Callaway, C-A-L-L-O-W-A-Y. And you can read his work by, of course, visiting lsj.com or picking up your latest edition of the Lansing State Journal. Brian, thanks so much for your time. I'll see you tonight.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me, Al.
All right. Gotta love Brian, I tell you. All right, listen to our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by bringing you our weekend winners, as well as chatting about Peyton Manning. Yes, he is bidding adieu to the world of football. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports.
On local issues.
If Lansing Township doesn't pay, the county is on the hook.
To national impacts.
I never went into the show thinking that I would win the show. The thing that I what was always on my mind was kind of maintaining integrity and doing what I do.
WKAR's Current State focuses on Michigan. Current State daily on 90.5 FM, AM 870, always at WKAR.org.
The BBC World Service.
You're listening to the newsroom.
This is Clip.
Welcome to Assignment.
Welcome to From Our Own Correspondent.
Hello and welcome to Global Business.
Welcome to Hard Talk.
Welcome to The Wire.
This is Science in Action.
Welcome to More or Less.
Welcome to Outlook.
It's time for Witness.
Hello and welcome along to The Arts Hour.
Great to have you on World Have Your Say.
Welcome to Sport Today.
BBC News.
The World Service from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, happy, happy Monday. It is Monday, March 7, 2016. And you know what? I'm getting blown up on social media right now with individuals asking what the other district locations and teams involved in those locations look like from some of our listeners out there. So I'm going to give you guys a quick rundown. As I mentioned with Brian Callaway, East Lansing is a part of the Class A district at East Lansing, which features you have Grand Ledge, DeWitt, Hazlitt, and Eastern. And also Waverly is a part of that district. Also, Class A at Holt. You've got Holt, Everett, Jackson, Okemos, Mason, and Northwest featured in that district. Class A at Flushing, you've got Flushing, St. John's, and Owosso a part of that district. Class B at Fowlerville. You've got Fowlerville, Lansing Catholic, and Williamston there. Class B at Ionia. You've got Ionia, Charlotte, Portland, and Lakewood featured. Class B at Leslie. Leslie, Stockbridge, Olivet, and Eden Rapids. Class B at Alma. Alma and Ovid-Elsie. Class C at Carson City Crystal. You've got CCC, Pouamo-Westphalia, Bath, Lanesburg, and Saranac, a part of that district. Class C at Maple Valley, got one team, Dansville. Class C at Hemlock, one team, that being Ithaca. Class D at Fowler, you've got, of course, Fowler, Fulton, Potterville, Portland, St. Pat, and Ashley. And then you have Class D at Morris. You've got, of course, Morris, Lansing Christian, Weberville, and Potterville, also in that district. That should be a fun night tonight, again, as boys high school district basketball action gets underway. All right, folks, less than 10 minutes left in the show. Call in. Get a quick call. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And each and every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we love to hit you with a segment entitled Weekend Winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world, and I deliver to you who I thought had the best weekend. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
Folks, that's right. You hear the montage. It is now time for weekend winners. So who exactly had the best weekend in the world of sports? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I have to start off with this one. I actually got a chance after it was shown on pay-per-view. I wasn't doing anything illegal here. Okay, folks. After it was shown, I saw it was streamed and posted multiple times on Facebook. That being the Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz huge UFC fight that led to an upset. McGregor, going into the bout as the overwhelming favorite, was looking to claim his 20th win in mixed martial arts and his 8th consecutive victory in UFC. But instead, he was choked out by Nate Diaz. that being McGregor's first UFC defeat and only the third of his career. There was so much trash talk going back and forth between McGregor and Diaz. McGregor with the biggest mouth between the two, but Nate Diaz just went out there and handled business. Here is Nate Diaz talking to UFC announcer Joe Rogan, and also former host of Fear Factor. Used to love that show on NBC. Joe Rogan after the fight.
Hey, I started off slow, but I'm faster than everybody. But, you know, I got to pick up. I got to warm up. So
now, once you got him on the ground, you went through him like fire through bushes. As soon as you got that mount, you flattened him out, took his back. What were you thinking here?
Yeah, I would have had, I know it was done. I would have had a lot more knockouts on my record, but as soon as they see him landing on, they start shooting. All of a sudden, they're wrestlers. So my jiu-jitsu is always there for when I hit the ground, but it's always from the boxing, Richard Perez boxing. That's usually what gets a fight there.
Nate, this was a spectacular victory, even more spectacular given the fact you didn't have a training camp for this. Congratulations, sir. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm an athlete, a warrior. We should always be ready to fight everybody on our worst day.
Gotta love that. And, you know, I honestly believe that Conor McGregor was probably over his head with this one. This was a fight in which Conor McGregor had to get out of his usual weight class in order to match up against Diaz, and he just seemed overmatched. And he seemed honestly tired. And I think, you know, when McGregor wanted to take a bit of a breather and maybe work on the ground game, that's when Nate Diaz pounced on him. And we all know how good Nate Diaz on the ground, and it was a wrap. So congratulations to Nate Diaz with the huge upset. Also, Holly Holm was beat that same night as well. Also, my second weekend winner here, got to call out the L.A. Lakers. How about the Los Angeles Lakers? Kobe Bryant, of course, in his swan song year at the Staples Center. I believe this was the final time that the Lakers would be playing the Golden State Warriors. The final time for Kobe Bryant, I should say. And how about the Golden State Warriors falling to the Los Angeles Lakers on Sunday, 112-95, the final of that one. The Warriors now 55-6. For whatever reason, they were not good enough against the 13-51 Lakers. Are you kidding me? And this is a big story because, of course, the Golden State Warriors are trying to chase history, trying to nip at the heels of that 72-10 record-breaking season, of course, accomplished by the one and the only Chicago Bulls, led by guys like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. But the Warriors losing to the lowly Los Angeles Lakers. Shocking considering the defending champion Warriors had won the first three games against the Lakers this season by, get this, an average of more than 24 points per game. The Lakers also had lost 10 of their previous 11 games overall, and they go out and knock off the Golden State Warriors. Are you kidding me? Congrats to Kobe Bean Bryant and his squad. And also, who's a winner and a loser, you know, kind of a bittersweet, you know, moment here for Peyton Manning, who has made the call to retire after an 18-year career. Peyton Manning, of course, riding off into the sunset as a champion, though. The Super Bowl 50 winner. Again, the Broncos, Denver Broncos, topping the Carolina Panthers. That was indeed his last rodeo. He's a five-time NFL MVP. He's actually holding a news conference as we speak. I actually got that update on my cell phone at 1 p.m. right when we took the airwaves. Peyton held a press conference to talk about his decision to retire. And now this frees up a ton of cap room for the Broncos, $19 million to be exact. Now, history will show that Manning made four Super Bowl trips with two titles, set a mountain of records, earned a place on football's Mount Rushmore for sure. He will retire as the NFL's all-time leader in passing touchdowns, passing yards, and quarterback wins. So I would like to salute a man who's been the face of the league for many, many years. Peyton Manning. Congratulations, my friend. All right, well, that wraps up our show for today. Thanks so much to Brian Callaway for joining me. Also, filling in, not only for today's current sports, but throughout the week, my man Drew Hill. He certainly held it down. Yes, Big applause to Drew Hill. Thanks for holding it down, my man. He'll be with me behind the glass throughout this entire week. And all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.